Welcome to episode 124 of That Great Business Show, hosting on the 27th of January, 2023. Foyle Tisteach, I am Conal O'Moran. We bring you 45 minutes of business tips, insights and opportunities, thanks to Dundeal.ie, where you will find your next car, new or second-hand. Coming up today, assuming you have one, use your home to get a free holiday. Yep, there's a business in that. Also, take the shipping hassle out of your business. And by the way, what is your business worth? We have a valuation expert in the house for you. And if you haven't done so already, if you know anyone who would like to get into the beauty business, do listen back to Sarah Naylor on episode 123, because she sells a beauty business in a box. Absolutely everything you need to make up to, are you listening? 2,500 euro a week, according to her, from doing nails and makeup. That's what we do on That Great Business Show. We're always looking for opportunities for you. You're welcome.
Dundeal Motors is home to Ireland's largest range of new and premium used cars. That's why you'll find cars from Mercedes-Benz, Audi and BMW dealerships on Dundeal. Are you looking for a seven-seater to accommodate your growing family? Maybe you're after a luxury saloon to make a statement. We have the car for you. You'll also find Ireland's largest range of electric cars to help you make the switch. Visit Dundeal.ie today to start the search for your next car.
Viscosity. When you shave, you want the highest viscosity because it helps the blade run smoother. DeFacto, the world's best shaving oil, has incredible viscosity. That's why DeFacto leaves your face, underarms or legs nick-free. Higher viscosity makes blades last longer. DeFacto is the best for your skin and your pocket. DeFactoShave.com.
All That Great Business Show advertisers are Team GBS approved. Back them.
Now, when you work, you should always take time off. It's good for you and good for your business. But there's always that question of cost. But Team GBS is here looking out for you, finding you new ways of getting value, this time saving you money on your holidays. One of my own favourite holiday hacks, and something I've done frequently, is to swap my own home for someone else's, either here in Ireland or abroad. In my experience, it's quite simply a no-brainer that could save you many, many thousands of euro. And before you say no one wants to stay in my small, out-of-the-way apartment, well, you will be pleasantly surprised. But who better to ask about house swapping than Marie Murphy of homelink.ie. Marie Murphy, welcome to That Great Business Show.
Thank you very much, Conal. Good to be here.
Not the first time we have spoken, because I am a keen advocate of house swapping, because it makes sense. You obviously are making a business out of it. Tell me all about the business.
Well, it's a business, I think, that started in the States, Conal, like many other good ideas, and eventually moved over to this side of the world. I got involved in it in 1984, would you believe?
We just say a while ago. We don't actually put a name on it or words on it. Just a while ago. That's too far back, you see. People, the listeners to this place don't even know there was a 1984.
Okay. So anyway, look, it is as you say, it is a no-brainer. It's one of these things that a lot of people will think about and then decide, no, it's not for me. But it really can be for anybody. It depends on your attitude and how, I suppose, free thinking you are. But anybody who has an apartment, a small home, a big home, we have various, you know, sizes, and that will suit various people. And often we find people saying, well, my home is very small, but Americans would like a big home. They actually don't want a big home when they come here. They want something nice and comfortable and small and convenient, and somewhere maybe that they can use as a base from which to see the rest of Ireland. That's what they look for.
Because if you're in Dublin, they may want to come to Dublin, and if you're in Kerry, they want to see the Ring of Kerry, or if you're in Galway.
That's right.
And again, they just want a location. Now, how does it work in financially?
Right. Well, the only finances involved in it is the fee that we charge for putting the listing up on our website.
Which
so
is?
It's 140 euro for the year.
Best 140 quid you will ever spend.
Great value. And you can do as many swaps as you like for that within that full 12-month period. So what you do is put up your details, nice photographs of your home, make it look well as if you're going to sell it. So you're going to put it up like that. Then when you get your membership number, you're going to send off several emails to people in other countries because you've looked at their listings, see nice photographs and say, I can see myself sitting at that pool with a glass of wine, whatever. Contact them. And eventually, it takes a bit of contacting. Now you have to do more than one contact. You know, you contact several people and eventually you find somebody who wants to swap with you, start up correspondence with them, sign our exchange agreement form, and then you start looking for your fares for Aer Lingus or Ryanair or wherever you want to go on.
But you know, the next two questions I'm going to ask you is people will say, and you've kind of covered it there once, is they won't want my place. And the second one is they'll wreck my place.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody thinks like that initially. You know, your first swap is always the hard swap to do. But I think if you look at it this way, that I'm giving you the keys to my home and you're doing the same. So that in itself, I think, builds a trust with people. And I often turn that to people and say, well, are you saying that if I gave you the keys to my home, you would thrash it? And of course I wouldn't. Well, that's exactly how it works. People don't do that because there's no money changing hands here. So I think that that bond between people, that helps, I think.
And of course, one of the things that you will find is better still. They'll leave your house cleaner than you gave it to them frequently.
That can often happen. That can often happen.
What happens, and we're getting into the law here, many people have rented apartments. Are they allowed to do a house swap?
Yes, if they we would always say, Conal, to contact the landlord and get the permission, not just do it without, we'd always ask them to do that. And we've had people who do exactly that. I think especially in places like Germany and France and that, where it's quite common for people to rent long term. They don't buy their own homes, they rent. And they constantly, we find that they will do that. That's fine. It's fine once they have permission.
And you also get the keys to the cars, and I use the plural because when you go to the States, like there's a car for every member of the family, there's a car for the cat and the dog, there's a car for everybody.
That's true. And I mean, again, for us, we'd always say, well, contact your car insurance company first before you do anything, before agree anything, and then go from there. But, you know, when you think about it, Conal, the cost savings even around the car, because you know yourself how things have gone through the roof in the last while.
And we're trying to save money.
This is about saving money. Keep it in your pocket and have it when you go abroad and go to a nice restaurant or whatever. But certainly car hire is very expensive now. So if you're swapping your car, again, you're going to save a huge amount of money on that.
Now, whet the appetite. Tell me some of the exotic places people that in your direct experience,
yes,
we can all imagine or dream, but yeah, in your direct experience, places people have gone to and opportunities that they have gotten from that.
Yeah, well, I think one of the ones that actually springs to mind for me at the moment, and it's very simple if you think about this. We had a young fisherman in Connemara about 5 years ago wanted to take his young family to Australia and New Zealand. And he contacted us and said, look, kids are really small now and I don't want them to be, you know, teenagers and fighting with me, trying to drag them somewhere. So I'm going to look for something in Australia and that. So he rented out his boat. He had a fishing boat. He rented out the boat to somebody else. That paid for some of the fares for him to Australia. He did 3 consecutive swaps in Australia. And then he interspersed them. He went for nearly 6 months. He interspersed those then with some hotel stays as well. And he did Australia and New Zealand one after the other. Now, that takes a bit of planning. I'm not saying that's easy, but it can be done. And he did it.
That is a wow. That is fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, other places, you can also go for 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months. Yeah. You can do alternative swaps. You can go to, because again,
yeah,
when you're thinking about the States, people can have 2 or 3 homes and they might go to another home when you go to their New York home or whatever.
Exactly. We call that a non-simultaneous swap. And that's very common now because a lot of Irish people have holiday homes and they would use those. It's great if you have a holiday home because you can have that home all prepared weeks in advance. You don't have that last minute cleaning that you will do when you're doing a straight swap with your main home. So the holiday homes, it's absolutely ideal for people who want to do that. And we've had it like over the years where you have people who say they want to go for a particular reason to an area, and because somebody can't swap with them at that time, the non-sim works very well for them. So there's great opportunities.
And of course, they're you're coming from the other side of the world sometimes, so they're coming out of their winter, they're delighted to come up here.
Exactly.
Or.
Yeah.
Any other exotic ones that you can remember? Or I remember going back in the day that there was a Hollywood producer, somebody who was offering his Hollywood home. Now, I didn't do it, I didn't go there.
Right.
But these are real.
Yeah, they are real. Well, I know one of our members in the States had, one of our organizers, actually our organizer in the States, had told us about somebody that he knew had taken a very nice home down around in Florida somewhere. But the
people... Not Mar-a-Lago.
No, not there, but some part of Florida. And they were all, next door to him, there were all these celebrities. And he was invited along to their evening party. He was out of his depth, he said. But he enjoyed it at the same time. There's kind of things like that that crop up. You hear little stories along the way. But I think in the bigger scheme of things, when people are just looking for, you know, I want a holiday home, or I want just a 2 or 3 week holiday in France or Spain, and they'd like to have either be near the beach or have the use of a pool. The use of a pool can be quite common in Spain or France. A lot of people have that, either a communal one or a private one, or just be near the beach is great. And that it works so well. And then your home is also safer with somebody in it than it's empty for 2 or 3 weeks.
You're very good at the sales. Now, do tell me, because we're all warts and all always on this show, is...
Yeah.
Have you had any disasters?
Yeah, people always ask about the disasters. And I know, Conal, I know it's hard to say that we don't get disasters. You know what we get sometimes? Misunderstandings where people have said they left the keys somewhere and actually when they looked for them, they weren't there and the neighbour wasn't there. Or, you know, that type of thing can happen. But that's the lack of communication sometimes. So really, things have changed over the years. You remember when we had the books and you sent the books out.
Now explain that, because once upon a time, for those people who remember a phone book, Marie used to send out a thing almost that big with little photographs and all, black and
that's
white
right,
photographs
black
as well.
Yeah, that's right.
And you were trying to guess what was the smudge in the photograph. Now, it's like going on to daft.ie and forever you can...
It's brilliant. I mean, you just see what's going on. And then some people now will send a little video, and that's actually great as well, because what they're showing you, it might be trying to explain the alarm system or something like that. It's a little video thing is sent, which is, again, gets over all of that. But the disasters just don't happen, because I think people, they're just very careful. Now, accidents happen. And then we would always say, like, if you break something, you're expected to replace it. It's just good manners, really, that we're down to. And I think the vast majority of people understand that and accept that part of it. Like, you have to replace.
Now, I did not prepare you for this, she said with worry in her eyes. I'm just wondering, have you ever put either a total amount or a rough amount on how much people save? Or how much money that HomeLink has saved people over the years? Did you ever do that talk?
Well, I've never done it over the years, but I know that our organiser in New Zealand did something similar to that for, because they come to England every year. And she was saying that she reckons she saves, because of the houses that she gets now, she saves about 4,500 each time she does it. But that depends on if she's taken an apartment or... you know, a 3 or 4 bedroom house, which is what you can get if you need that. But the savings can be huge. You know, depending on how long you go. And if you have to think of it this way, Conal, you have an airfare and you can just go for as long as you like. Whereas if you're going to rent, or, you know, it's renting by the week or rent by the fortnight, this way you've your airfare and you can go for as many weeks as you wish.
I presume that COVID was not kind to you.
Oh, it was a disaster. Like it really
it just
was.
Just stopped, I presume.
Just stopped. People didn't want to travel, couldn't travel, as you know. So what we did was, had to put the thinking cap on, we encouraged them to swap within Ireland. And that worked absolutely terrific.
I did not know that.
Yeah,
clever
it was
you.
Just really good. So we put up a special page on the system. We still keep it now. For people who are particularly interested in coming to Ireland, sorry, doing their swaps within Ireland. So that worked really well. You had people from Donegal going down to Kerry, Galway across to Dublin. It was just great. That worked out really well. That was our saviour, to be honest.
And I presume that continues as
it's
well.
It's continuing,
now,
yes. Yeah.
And again, it's 365 days a year. You can swap for whenever.
Well, exactly. Well, we're doing a swap now to Cork, myself and Paul heading off. We're only doing it for a long weekend. But fine, this couple had contacted us and we said, yeah, sure, why not?
I hope you pay your 140 quid a year, do you?
I do not.
The future. It's the internet just was made for you. Yeah. Because back to your little booklet, it was a bit odd to be doing it in the book days.
I was.
But now it's just.
Yeah.
And there are competitions. So there are competitors.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Are any of them any good?
Well, I wouldn't, downplay them, because they have big investors behind them, Conal. They're not like us. We're the small player in it. But what we try and do is keep it that we have a more personal contact with people, and they like that. So, I mean, I answer the phone to people still. I still do that, and I think that's important, because people want that. They don't want, just a bot or chat bot thingy-me bob, whatever we call it here.
That's, you get Murray Murphy.
You get me. Yeah.
And I won't go into the details, but once upon a time, Senator Edward Kennedy was on the phone to you,
yeah,
directly or indirectly.
Yeah.
And he wanted to swap into Ireland as well. That, as they say, is scale Ella.
Scale Ella.
Final question, and you have been prepped for this. Who would Marie Murphy hire in a heartbeat?
Well, I didn't have to think about it very long, and the answer is Pádraig O'Cajan.
Okay, yeah, we know Pádraig.
Well, Pádraig was a member of ours, would you believe, for several years.
Was he?
He was, and he did lots of swaps as well over the years. But I got to know him as well. He was doing a walk on the Aran Islands for charity type thing, and he asked me to do a walk, so Paul and I did it. So got to meet him that time. I just admire him, because he's a go-getter, but he's also so modest as well. And he's the type of man, I think, that anybody would want in their company. He's, good fun, but very down to earth.
And as that song goes, you knock me down and get up again, because he's done that
absolutely
a few times as well.
Absolutely, and yeah, that's exactly what he is. Yeah.
We love people like that on That Great Business Show.
Yeah.
Anybody who wants to find you will find you at...
They'll find me at homelink.ie. That's probably the best.
Simple.
Very best.
And 140
way.
Quid will be, I'm telling you now, the best couple of quid you can invest. And literally, one final question. How many countries in the world do you cover, do you reckon?
Well, we would cover, I suppose, all of Europe is covered in it, plus Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, obviously America, Canada. They're the bigger ones. And obviously some are more popular than others, but and with Irish people, they love the bit of sun. So France, Spain, Italy, they're the big ones.
Anything really exotic, like the Seychelles or the...
Well, they're there, but they wouldn't be in hundreds now. You'll get a handful here and there. Yeah. But
everything, it's there.
Yeah.
It's like the world. Marie Murphy of homelink.ie, thank you so much for joining us on That Great Business Show.
Thank you, Conal.
Dundeal Motors is home to Ireland's largest range of new and premium used cars. That's why you'll find cars from Mercedes-Benz, Audi and BMW dealerships on Dundeal. Are you looking for a 7-seater to accommodate your growing family? Maybe you're after a luxury saloon to make a statement. We have the car for you. You'll also find Ireland's largest range of electric cars to help you make the switch. Visit dundeal.ie today to start the search for your next car.
Want to increase sales, reduce overheads and provide customers with a better service? Then use Big Red Web, the easiest way to develop and maintain your website. It gives you powerful business reporting, digital marketing and automatically integrates with the award-winning Big Red Cloud Accounting software. It's a game changer for SME businesses. It's so good, the government gives you a €2,500 grant towards it. Big Red Web, e-commerce made simple. bigredcloud.com/web.
All That Great Business Show advertisers are Team GBS approved. Back them.
For those of you who ship small amounts of goods from Ireland abroad, there is an understandable concern that any move towards a united Ireland could mean losing the use of the Royal Mail on our island. I was talking to someone recently who's not at all happy with some of Impost's odd regulations and costs. So much so that he has a friend bring his boxes to Ballyken, Northern Ireland, once a week, where he posts the boxes via the Royal Mail at a considerable discount. That's business, you could say. And indeed it is. And it's the business of my next guest, Mark Green of Dublin-based Parcel Planet, whose business is shipping parcels. Mark Green, welcome to That Great Business Show.
Thank you very much, Conal. Good to be here.
Shipping parcels... is an area which, if you had asked me 2-3 years ago, my eyes would glaze over, fall asleep straight in front of you and all. The more I got into the weeds of parcels, the more I found it fascinating. No, really, it is.
Now, many classify it as fascinating, but I'm interested.
It is fascinating just in the way how goods and parcels with goods in them move around the world. Mm. So what is your business, Parcel Planet, doing that others aren't doing?
So I suppose probably the easiest way is to say why Parcel Planet came about. So Parcel Planet, it's effectively as a business is about 3 years old, but prior to that, we had been drop shipping and drop shipping our own goods from Dublin to all over Ireland, including Northern Ireland.
Now, let me stop you there. Now, I am, because of my new nerdyism, interested and knowledgeable about drop shipping, but not everybody is. Explain to the world.
So drop shipping would simply mean that if you sell a good on your site, and the typical site would be Shopify, maybe even WooCommerce. So instead of you holding that good, as soon as the sale comes through, you get the ding on your phone and you decide, right, I'm going to pick and pack it. You decide that, you know what, my time is better spent selling, marketing, maybe even purchasing. And you get somebody else to do it. So those goods go into their warehouse, they pick and pack it for you, they ship it out for you, and they provide you with all the data that enables your customer then to follow up on that parcel. That's effectively drop shipping. So you're not having to do the laborsome work, and your time is better spent selling.
And you don't have 25 or 2500, whatever you're selling, out in the back garden or in your garage or wherever you store them.
Correct.
Because you don't actually touch them. Is that correct?
That's it. I suppose with the huge growth in e-commerce, and obviously we have COVID to thank for that, but that's catapulted forward even more so. And because of that, we're seeing a huge demand with e-commerce brands that want to do what they're best at, and that's growing their brand. And anything that takes away from that, it's effectively slowing their growth. And a large proportion of their time, when we talk to business owners, is the logistics. It's the operation. It's the goods in, goods out, following up, putting them away, putting in heavy software, your WMS system, to enable you to manage that. And the demand has grown so substantially that we'd seen that opportunity, but what we wanted to do was wrap that in with a great service. And part of that was having the facility we have now in Birmingham. So it enables brands like your friend to simply put the stock into our location in Birmingham. And lo and behold, next day, his customers get their goods.
And a Birmingham location is hugely beneficial when you start getting involved in Brexit.
The B word? Are we bringing up the B word?
Well, I am making a forecast now that the Brexit will actually disappear again, maybe in 2 to 3 years, because I can see slowly, reality is kicking in. Yes. And in business, we all know reality does kick in.
Correct.
It's called pounds, I suppose, there was, shillings and pence.
There was two B's, wasn't there? There was Boris and Brexit. Mm. One is gone, the other is still here with us. And yes, we'd probably see that border softening, but effectively.
So talk me through. I'm looking at a cup here. I'm selling cups. Mm-hmm. I locate my cups in Birmingham. Mm-hmm. A little bing comes in on my phone. Mm-hmm. Somebody in Britain wants to buy my cup. Mm. And you do the rest. Correct.
Yes, absolutely. So what happens is our software connects into your website. So your ping comes through, that effectively comes into our software, we see it there, and then we pick, pack, and ship it out. You might have some special, we want a special packaging, which might be we want some pink paper to go around this product. We want an additional note to say, thank you for buying. Buy again, here's a 10% discount. And that's something we want to encourage with our clients. So the goods get delivered then to your customer. And the great thing about it is it's all done seamlessly. The order is delivered without you even knowing. And also, once the information is passed through, it means that your customer also has the tracking details. So one of the features we'd found was because as we had grown our business before we expanded out into Parcel Planet, was we wanted to reduce the amount of inbound activity. So inbound activity, again, takes you away from what you should be doing, which is building your brand. And part of that was, where's my package? So effectively what our software enables you to do is that information, the tracking details, goes to your customer and they can track it.
Now, we had Sarah Naylor on the previous podcast, number 123, and she told us that dropshipping is the new buzz amongst kids, and I use the word advisedly, very young people who dream of building a brand, and they don't want to soil their hands with picking up parcels and putting on sticky
tape.
She's
100% right.
This is something you're seeing too.
Yes, we're seeing, but this has been the case for many years. And I suppose if you look at any of the big brands out there, if you take any of the big brands like your Superdrys, your Diesel, I'm talking about male brands there, obviously, but you go into the beauty sphere, which is really where we specialize, none of them, or very few at least, have their own operation. They've outsourced it. They recognize that they are a brand and that's their business. They need to build that. And what we're seeing is that a newer generation that is coming through, particularly on the e-commerce platform, is they're understanding that. They realize that my job here, my superpower here, is to build a brand. It is not about taking a box, picking a pack, and making myself feel busy. And that's what we see. So I suppose I don't want to say the smarter, but the brands that grow faster are outsourcing this to the specialist. And we would say we were specialists.
And you are doing a beautiful pitch job to me. Now, talk to me about how teeny can you be to deal with Parcel Planet? In other words, Sarah Naylor talked about a 14-year-old who might only be shipping small amounts.
Yes.
Is that person ready for Parcel Planet?
So I would say no. And I would probably say that person is not ready to outsource it just yet. So we started our business journey too long ago, 17 years ago. You need to get to know your business. You need to feel your customers. And the early days is very much what you get to understand is what's different about your business. What's the USP that makes them come back? And as part of that, then it's the customer experience. So if you focus on the customer at the end point and keep them not happy but delighted, you're overachieving, then everyone's happy along the chain. And so what we're seeing is that if they focus on delivering a great experience, you'll know then when you go to a fulfillment center like ourselves and say, this is the experience I want to deliver. So where we would typically start is, and where we set out to, is brands that are in and around 1,000 orders a month.
Okay. So that's 250 a week. Now,
exactly.
Does that mean, like, I'm going to go from the ridiculous My Little Cup here to table tennis tables. Do not ask me why I've just thought of a table tennis table.
Great question.
But if you're shipping, could you ship 250 table tennis tables every week?
It's a great question, and that's probably one of the reasons we have the hint in the name, Parcel. You will not get a table tennis table. Maybe a table tennis ball or bat, but definitely not a table tennis table. When you think about e-commerce, it's very much a case that it is parcel-led. It is consumer-driven. And yes, there is the outliers of the likes of your table tennis tables, your electrified kids' cars, that kind of thing. Whereas your consumer goods, and particularly, I suppose, where we would specialise, would be the likes of the beauty industry and the athleisure wear industry.
And you say here, because I was looking at your website, pet care, beauty, fashion, jewellery, books, giftware, and office products.
Yes.
I've just done the ad for you. You can send on the check. Of those, you're saying, you've mentioned the beauty stuff a couple of times, and again, oddly enough, and it's coincidental, that Sarah Naylor is, her company is a beauty business in a box. So there's obviously something happening there. So talk to me about the opportunities and the do's and don'ts of that area, since you seem to know it.
So I suppose with the beauty industry itself, it's the customer experience. I mean, it's quite competitive brands-wise. I mean, what we've seen in the last 10 years is new brands. Brands that weren't there 10 years ago are now suddenly competing with the big established brands like Clinique, Revlon, that kind of thing. And part of that then is the association with influencers. And you're bringing that through. So that is the new breed, I suppose, we're seeing come through. And part of that is a great customer experience. Because it's so competitive, you have to have the goods delivered the next day in great condition. And if you've any questions or queries, that they're answered very quickly. If you're not doing that, your competition is.
And is your competition on Post, the Royal Mail, or is it UPS, the DHL, or who are you competing against?
So from our perspective, the likes of the couriers are all partners. So what we would do is...
So you love them?
We do. We have a phenomenal relationship, even with Royal Mail, as you mentioned, given what's gone on in the last while.
But you didn't mention on Post. Do you deal with them?
Absolutely. One of our best.
Okay.
Everyone knows they're friendly,
so
Postie,
there's no
including
point
GLS.
In me trying to get any dirt from you about on Post.
You could, but we'd have to switch off the mic.
Because so, I started this entire thing by saying that OnPost is, they're going to not like me for this, but they're driving business over the blooming border.
Yes.
Their own business.
Yes.
Clever?
Yes.
I know. No.
So I suppose the one feature that needs to be kept in mind when you're looking at the customer experience is giving customers options. And that's one of the driving factors for ourselves. So the idea would be that your customer gets to choose. I can go with OnPost, or I can go with GLS, I can go with DPD. And we think that's a phenomenal service. That's a great experience. And like that, that's what we try to give to our clients, so that if they feel that their brand is best associated with the aforementioned OnPost, that's great, we'll go with them. If they need a solution, which is Northern Ireland, we've a solution for them on that as well. But it's our job to make that seamless, and it's our job to make sure we're keeping their customer. We see that the brand's job is to grow their business. We're there to maintain it.
And very briefly, because we are running out of time, tell me two do's and two don'ts if drop shipping is your business.
Two do's would be get the order out on time and communicate heavily.
Is that not easy? In other words, the bing comes in, I press the button, and Parcel Planet does the rest.
Depends what time your bing comes in at.
But if the bing comes in at 2 a.m., because it's not the whole joy of that business, as you say, you're
perfect.
Making money as you sleep.
There's no problem with the bing coming in at 2 a.m. because that person at 2 a.m. isn't expecting it at 9 a.m. The problem there comes if the bing comes in at 4 o'clock and your courier is already gone at 2 o'clock. That's where the value should be.
And is it really that tight?
Absolutely. What we're seeing
is... But are people expecting it that suddenly, that quickly?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what we're seeing now is a growth in the soap hours. So you think about your Coronation Street, your EastEnders times, where people are looking at the soaps and they're shopping. So we're seeing a good growth in
they're
that.
They're shopping as they watch the soaps.
Correct.
Not surprised.
We won't generalise with the better halves in our lives. But yes, absolutely. We're seeing a growth in that. So one of our goals is... particularly in Birmingham and in Ireland, is to have a cut-off time of 9 p.m. We're getting close to it, but that enables our clients then to have the edge.
So that was some of the twos. I don't know, were they the do's or the don'ts? Give me the other two.
Give me the two don'ts. Don't choose a courier that doesn't fit with your brand.
But do you care? I mean, do I care?
I think you do. I think the...
If a courier comes to my door, I look at the box, not at the courier.
But you will see the difference in the service.
Okay.
So, like everything, there's horses for courses and there's prices for courses. So, if you're selling a good that is 20 euros to the customer, are they really going to expect a high delivery service? If you're selling something like one of our clients is, and the value of could be 500 euros...
Okay, you want somebody to come along with white gloves and bow and scrape
correct,
and all the rest?
Correct, okay. Correct. And there's room in the world for everybody.
All right. Final question. Who would Mark Green of Parcel Planet hire in a heartbeat?
So there's probably two that come to mind, and it's because they're on the podcast list, including yours. So it was Stephen Bartlett or Mo Gowda. Probably Stephen Bartlett. Phenomenal social media. It's an area that's highly developed and he's highly respected as an entrepreneur. So Stephen Bartlett, you'd have to admire the guy at 30 years of age to have sold.
Is that all he is? I've seen him on TV. He's on Dragon's Den.
Yes, if you want to feel inferior, just read his Wikipedia. At 30 years of age, multimillionaire on Dragon's Den and having sold his business blockchain.
It can't be blockchain.
No, it's not. Sorry, it's social chain. Apologies. They're all kind of similar. So social chain, and he sold that. So from our point of view, our clients would gain such value from the likes of Stephen Bartlett.
And I am very happy that you did not mention somebody else that you told me that you would hire in a heartbeat. You told me that your two favourite podcasts, not necessarily in this order.
Which order?
would be That Great Business Show and David McWilliams's podcast.
Yes,
now, David is a friend of mine.
Guilty pleasure, guilty pleasure.
But you actually hoped that he would ring you, not me.
I'm still waiting for the call.
You got the B team here, you see.
Yes, yeah. Well, I thought it was the A team, but it depends on which show I'm on.
No, I could hear the disappointment in your voice when I took the phone call. And I think you almost wanted me to say, I'm ringing on behalf
of David
McWilliams.
He's coming in now, is he?
No, is that I was ringing on behalf of David.
Yes. The secretary to David McWilliams, yes. Yeah, absolutely. One of those, I think, David's podcasts are so entertaining, educational and entertaining combined, but nothing can take away from your business show.
You smooth talking.
Would you like chocolates with that?
Mark Green, Parcel Planet, thank you so much for joining us on That Great Business Show.
Dundeal Motors is home to Ireland's largest range of new and premium used cars. That's why you'll find cars from Mercedes-Benz, Audi and BMW dealerships on Dundeal. Are you looking for a seven-seater to accommodate your growing family? Maybe you're after a luxury saloon to make a statement. We have the car for you. You'll also find Ireland's largest range of electric cars to help you make the switch. Visit dundeal.ie today to start the search for your next car.
De facto shaving oil, made only from natural oils. Nothing nasty on your skin.
In response to your requests on this episode, we are bringing you a new feature called What is My Business Worth? We're going to be looking at the widest variety of businesses to see what they could be bought or sold for and how, as an owner, you can maximise value. Jason Bradshaw is corporate finance partner with business advisors JPA Brenton Lawler. And we chose Jason as our advisor because last year he won Finance Magazine's Deal of the Year award. There are so many sectors to choose from, but we decided to start with the hardware sector, as in your local hardware store, because that's the sector that Jason won his award for, the big trophy. Jason Bradshaw, welcome to That Great Business Show.
Thanks, Connell. Thanks for having me.
It was a great award. Well done.
Thank you.
And you look really well there with the little badge there and the little trophy.
I'm glad there's not a TV here. You're fine.
Where do we start make a business worth more? And then how do you value a business where, if we're going to talk about the hardware sector, for example, there could be a hardware store in Mullingar. There could be a hardware store in Blanchardstown. They're both hardware stores, but they must be valued differently, correct or not?
They would be valued differently. It really depends on the, I suppose, the sales mix of the hardware store, how big it is in terms of their premises, in terms of the turnover. Is it turning 1 million or 5 million? And what's the mix? Is it like largely cement or timber? Because, you know, in terms of different margins. So it really depends on each particular store. You'd have to look at it individually.
But a 1 million business and a 5 million business. 1 million is a bit like a house. More people can afford a 1 million business than can afford the 5 million business. Therefore, I could argue that 1 million business is worth
more. But the consolidators, you see, might not be interested in the 1 million business.
Because it might be a little bit too small. For people like me means What does that mean?
Well, I suppose it's somebody like If Grafton Group or any of the other I suppose group kind of owners. If they want to buy a local hardware store, it would have to be up to a certain threshold in terms of turnover, square footage,
too small,
profitability.
No good.
If it's too small, they probably won't look at it. So,
but they're the big consolidators. But are there little consolidators who want to become the next Grafton Group?
There would be. There's a few around the country, there's some small groups that might have four or five different merchants around the country. They're looking to expand, and then I suppose on the larger scale, Grafton might be only interested in kind of unique offerings or a specialised kind of distribution or merchant type of business, like Proline Architecture, like the one that they bought last year.
Sorry, that's the one that you won your award for. You
correct,
still want to come back
correct,
to me all
correct,
the time.
Correct. Yeah,
come
yeah.
here to me. If I go in, and I do go into my local hardware store down in Sandymount, I'm always looking to see, what do you think the margin might be? Do you do the same?
Well, the gross margins are interesting.
Do you walk into a store and look at them and say, could they be making 7%? Could they be making 15%?
I'd have an idea when you walk in the store.
Okay, how or
why? Depending on what they have in the store.
Get away, really? What's the giveaway?
A giveaway, I suppose it's a large square footage. It's the high end stuff, like possibly the paints or value added stuff.
Bigger
where you're
square
a higher
footage,
margin.
Higher or lower margin?
Should be higher because you're.
So what you're telling me is go to your local small
shop
hardware
local.
Shop.
Shop local is very shop important.
Of course it is, but you're also telling me that their margins are lower.
No, not necessarily. They could be higher. It really depends on the sales and what you're selling, because some hardware stores are might be selling stuff that, you know, a small convenience store might be selling in terms of light bulbs or stuff like that. So it really just depends on the store. But generally, gross margins are, you'd expect to see 25-27% gross margin, net margin of 7-8%.
That's okay.
It's okay, yeah. So it's all about increasing the bottom line, Conal, as you know. So we have to keep increasing that profit.
And you are the business advisor of all business advisors. So how do you manage, if you are running a hardware store, to squeeze that extra bit so that the Grafton Groups and all come knocking on the door?
So I'd be looking at the opening hours. Are your opening hours too long? Can you cut them back?
Too long?
Yeah.
I would have always imagined they're not long enough.
No, well, if you looked at, say, on a, just pick a Friday evening. Say you're open till 6 o'clock. What sales are you doing on a Friday evening between 5 and 6? Just as an example, it might make sense to close at 5 or 5:30 on a Friday. So you're saving on your wage cost, but you might actually not lose any material trade. So your profit for the day actually could be higher on a Friday by closing slightly earlier. As an example, depending on where you're located. So really, it's look at your opening hours, look at your rosters, make sure you don't have too many staff on, I suppose, on your quiet days. Everyone will know what the quiet days are, depending on where the store is. So it's all about increasing the bottom line. Look at your utility costs, go to your bonkers.ie, compare your electricity, your gas bills, and just make sure you're continually getting the best deals in every line of your business, because all that extra profit, you're multiplying that by maybe 4 to 7 times EBITDA. So in terms
EBITDA,
of a multiple.
I told you never to say that word in here.
Adjusted profit, net profit.
Net profit. The only profit that's important is net profit. Is that right?
Your cash net profit.
That's the one that goes into the back pocket if you're making it.
Exactly.
And if it's not being made, you're not in business, really. Yeah.
So you want to be getting that 7 to 8% up.
And one other thing you did tell me off air was e-commerce. The website. Mm. Sell on a website. Create something that you can sell on a website, because not everybody does.
Every hardware store owner needs to be online. If they're not online, they need to get online quick. If they are online, they need to continually improve the online offering and offer same-day delivery. This is why you'll increase your turnover, you can increase your margin. I suppose what's happening in the UK, and we always follow the UK, but there's a website, ecommonsense.com, and 50 to 60% of what
Hang on a second, now you skipped over that. E-what?
E- ecommonsense.com.
That's the one I don't have.
Yeah,
don't
so that's growing strongly in the UK. Probably up to 60-70% of all products now you'll find in a physical store. You can buy them on that, delivered to your door the next day.
So if I'm looking for a paint or a screw or whatever, I go on to ecommonsense.com and I cut out the local hardware store.
Exactly. Or Amazon.
But we're trying to support local businesses.
Exactly. So the business,
Jeff Bezos, the hardware owner, even richer.
Needs to be online.
Okay. But now you have and you do deal with an awful lot of those companies. Is there a kind of a reticence or is there a laziness or call it what you will of those companies to go online? I mean, is it hard? Is it difficult? Is it costly?
Well, COVID would have fast forwarded a lot of local merchants to go online. And I suppose at that time the government were offering grants to develop your website, to develop your
online
offering.
They still are, I think they'll still give you $2.5 grand, I think.
Yeah, and through your local enterprise board as well. So it's really a necessity. It's not like a luxury anymore, I would say. You need to be online, you need to be on Facebook, on Instagram, you need to be continually driving your business to online sales.
But you just told me to cut back in your roster. There is no way that you can run your e-commerce website without hiring somebody else or finding somebody who is e-commerce competent.
But it'll pay for itself.
Do you think?
Yeah, twice or threefold, okay. Without a doubt. If you get a good marketing person online, that'll drive, actually, it drives a few things. It drives more people to the store physically because you're in their minds more often, but it'll also drive your online sales. Which can also improve your bottom line. So really, you have to be online now.
Will your friends, the consolidators, pay more for a local hardware store that has e-commerce rather than doesn't? I mean, presumably, if they see e-commerce, at least they think that you're somewhere near the 21st century.
Well, if you're on e-commerce, you'll probably see your sales trends are increasing. Where if you're not online, I think what's coming down the tracks over the next 3 to 5 years is that your sales might actually start to decrease because of Amazon, because of ecommonsense.com and because of other online companies that may actually start trading in the future. So it's a necessity. If you're not online, I think you could see a very material reduction in your turnover and your profits over the next 3 to 5 years. So it's key to success, really.
And what kind of net profit must a unit, we call it a unit, a shop, be making before the consolidators are even interested? Do they have to be making 100,000, 500,000, a million?
Well, I would say for the smaller group consolidators, I would say 1.5 million plus, 1.5 million, 2 million
net
plus.
Net profit
you would want.
But that's a chunky business.
It is, but the margins are low. So if you're at 7%, you know, you need to be up at that turnover level.
No, I'm talking about profit there, not turnover. That's what I'm saying is, does the company have to knock out 2 million in profit?
No, in turnover.
In turnover,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
you have a low...
But is there a profit level that they want to, that they need to see before they'll even open the discussion?
Yeah, well, it needs to be adding, you know, 200,000 or 300,000 to the bottom line. That's really... So, I suppose the local hardware owner that's maybe wishes to retire, maybe they'll stay in for a year or two, maybe they'll retire straight away. But when you put in a replacement cost for that seller, for that owner, you need to be making it worthwhile for the consolidator. Because
yeah.
it just doesn't work otherwise.
And how quickly does a sale happen?
How quickly can a sale happen? So really, it depends on how willing and able and ready the business owner is. So as I say, a business owner always needs to be ready to sell. And there's a few key things on that you need to be ready. I suppose that's, they call it in the business kind of, you do vendor due diligence, seller due diligence on yourself. So if you own the property, you need to make sure your folio is correctly up to date with the land registry, etc. You need to make sure all your staff have proper employment contracts. You need to review your corporate structure. Do you need to put in place a holding company? Have you looked at your succession planning? So say when you get paid for the sale of your shares, does that make sense commercially in terms of your tax structure? Because I always say to a business owner, what is your net take-home check? So if you have any bank debt, by the time you pay off your bank debt and you pay your capital gains tax, what is your net take-home check? So you have to have this all ready, like maybe 1 to 2 years in advance of even thinking of selling. So you need to get that completely up to date, because if you have all that ready and then you decide to go to market, it's cutting down the timeline. So a typical timeline for a transaction might be 4 to 6 months from start to finish.
And so, these people are knocking on doors all of the time.
They are. They are. Yeah. There's a lot of consolidation in the sector that will continue to increase. So really, it's a great time to be selling your business. Valuations are down slightly from last year. So that's where you really, really have to concentrate on your bottom line.
And you better give me your name and company name as well, because people will need to talk to you.
Yes, it's Jason Bradshaw, JPA Brenson Lawler.
And Jason at jpabrensonlawler.com will get him on the email or on the website, JPA Brenson Lawler. Jason, thank you so much for joining us on That Great Business Show.
Want to increase sales, reduce overheads, and provide customers with a better service? Then use Big Red Web, the easiest way to develop and maintain your website. It gives you powerful business reporting, digital marketing, and automatically integrates with the award-winning Big Red Cloud Accounting software. It's a game-changer for SME businesses. It's so good, the government gives you a €2,500 grant towards it. Big Red Web, e-commerce made simple. BigRedCloud.com/web.
De Facto Shaving Oil, made only from natural oils. Nothing nasty on your skin.
All That Great Business Show advertisers are Team GBS approved. Back them.
And that is it from That Great Business Show, episode 124, where we deliver you 45 minutes of business insights and inspiration, thanks to our sponsor, Dundeal.ie. It's the only place to find your next car, new or second hand. Also, you can repost us on LinkedIn, where we're posting our new Business Bites. Those are the business opportunities just for you that we send out to subscribers during the week. LinkedIn is also where you'll find us if you want to advertise with us. And we record here at the Dublin South Podcast Studios, where Lee, no mascara for me, Brennan, is today's sound engineer. Later, Neil Horner will do some excellent shading. See what I did there? Shading in post-production. This is the same team that brings you our second podcast series. That's Ireland's legal podcast, The Fifth Court. If you want your own podcast, we can make those podcast dreams come true. And don't forget to buy Business Plus magazine, where we now have a regular column all about the podcast. So from me, Conal O'Moran, Mila Buchas for listening, agus slán tamach.